Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. We are all moving more into a world of entrepreneurship, and knowing your niche or niche and how to market to it is of utmost importance. Whether you're a medical doctor, an attorney, a sports therapist, a virtual assistant, a web developer, or the developer of a new and unique product, PR and marketing and business are all things that are really not taught to us in college or postgraduate schools of thought. Let's face it, these days there are a lot of smart, educated, and intelligent people developing new businesses every day, a lot of it online, but many of them missed out on real-life training on how to market, to run and market a successful business, and marketing is everything. So today, Angela O'Mara, president of the Professional Image Incorporated, has joined us. She has over 25 years of experience representing public relations, PR clients, to the national and international media, and with her in-depth understanding of how people get on TV that is based on actual hands-on experience and with many thousands of media placements, Angela has taken PR beyond simply spinning a story. We're going to talk about that, too. We're going to talk about Carla Lundblad. Her agency works with all television stations, and she has successfully placed clients on, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, E! Entertainment TV, Extra. I'm getting breathless just reading all of these. The Insider, The View, Good Morning America, The Today Show, CBS Early Show, The Oprah Winfrey Network, Telemundo, Univision, and the BBC, to name a few. So today she returns to the show to share her knowledge with us. Angela, I'm so glad to see you back. You are such a wealth of information.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm so excited to be here, and it's such a great way for me to start my year, so I'm honored, Denise, to be back on your show. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here. And, of course, last week, can you believe it's already the second week of the year?
No, I can't, and I looked at
my Christmas stuff is not put away. It's not right. It's just not right. But last week, we kicked off with Carla Lundblad, who is a client of yours. And she's got a fabulous success story, I think largely in part to you because of her media.
You know what's so great about Carla is that Carla has a real focus on what what she wants to achieve. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, not just from a business point of view, but with her direct focus on what her true gift is to people. And her gift kind of covers many aspects of the world of therapy, whether it's in helping people with focus, emotional issues, you know, recently weight loss ideas. And Carla just is somebody who, she's very gifted, she's realized her talent, and she understands that, you know, in order for her to achieve the goals that she has set forth for herself, she needs to surround herself with experts who can help her, guide her on that path. And at our agency here, the Professional Image, Carla's kind of main account manager, if you will, is a man named Giles Rain. And so we kind of have this standing joke here that we have America's favorite therapist, who is Carla Lundblad, is represented by America's favorite publicist, Giles Rain. And the two of them have really created a great kind of client working relationship together. And, you know, he supports her 100% with ideas, creativity, keeping her, you know, in focus with what she's doing. And then as an agency, you know, we constantly are looking for new ideas to help her with her success. And so she's, to us as an agency, we're blessed to have her as a client.
Well, hers is a great story. And I was so excited. Yeah, you and I have talked about this before. I don't watch very much TV, and I really don't like newspapers. I think most of them are just so biased in one way or another. So a lot of my news I get from the Internet, and I love the Daily Mail UK. I don't know why. I just do. And off I went, and who pops up but Carla Lemblade. I couldn't get to my email quick enough to email you and her. I was like, look, look, look. Of course you knew it. You did it. But I was like, oh, look.
Not always, but, you know, some of the things that kind of come out, like the Daily Mail UK, I mean, because that just pops up online, you know, and
right.
So sometimes other people see it before we do.
I looked at the picture and went, oh, I know her, and then off I went. But it was just so exciting to see that article.
Yeah, and it was, you know, and it came from her being part of the ITV, you know. What had happened was, you know, Kelly Osbourne, as obviously, is a known celebrity. She's been in the news for years, and she has a really great success story with her own personal weight loss. And so the British television were interested in, for kind of a new year, a new you, having Kelly do a show about her weight loss and, you know, and Carla, of course, having her particular tips and ideas of how you really can maintain a weight loss program and what are the important things that come first before going on a diet. And so it just worked out great that the producers, you know, were out here. There were several of them. They were out here for a few days. They, you know, had the patients who were, you know, struggling with weight loss come out to Hollywood. And so we all had a lot of fun, especially Carla and Kelly, you know, and then that aired, of course, the first of the year. And then because it was on kind of such a big morning show in the UK, it's now kind of taken a life of its own, which is what you hope with a good PR story. And so, of course, Daily Mail picked her up, and then Australia Morning Show had her Carla on, which that now is available for viewing on the internet. And so, you know, it's just been, like I said, it came from Carla really has a focus and understanding of what her true gift is as an entrepreneur. I mean, that's, you know, and as a therapist. And so, and again, for us as an agency, she's a great client for us.
And
you know, it's sort of the message out there to the listeners is, you know, and I see so much as far as, you know, inspiration and heart-driven business, you know, but I think for many, many people out there who are either looking to start a new business or they have started a new business or they're in a business where maybe they've lost their sense of purpose,
that's
the first step is, hey, it's a new year. We've got, you know, 11 months and 3 weeks in front of us to achieve 2013 business goals that lead to success, that lead to happiness. So where do you start? You know, are you starting with, again, reinventing yourself, re-inspiring yourself, or you just need to be reminded of what the basics are so you can have that same kind of success?
Well, and to touch back on Carla, and then we're going to move on because I have a ton of questions for you, is that she has not been with you all that long. Her success story was rapid.
Yes.
Very rapid.
Yes.
So,
and her, you know, I will say with Carla, because Carla's been with our agency for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when she kind of came to us, it was, again, with, this is what I want, and I, you know, want to be known as a therapist who, you know, works with my clients to help them achieve their goals. And again, you know, we have come up with strategy ideas, and, you know, and we work hand in hand with Carla, but a lot of it truly comes from her belief in herself and her belief in her goals and her, you kind of have to meet Carla to understand Carla. You know, I mean, if Carla was not a client, she would for sure be our therapist. You know, because she has such a great way with every person that she touches. And, you know, I think we can even learn from that. Yesterday, we had a guy come in here who's a friend of ours, and he has a car detailing company. And his mantra is, and he's had his car detailing company for many years, and he's in, you know, Newport Beach based. He has clients who have, you know, many luxury vehicles, and so for him to clean my car is a true honor for me because he does such a beautiful job, and he doesn't need to clean my car, you know, because he has, like I said, you know, clients with many luxury vehicles. But his attitude is that he treats every customer as though they're the only customer that he has, including me, you know. And so when you think about that, as again, as a business entrepreneur, is every customer should be the most important person in front of you at that moment. And
right.
I think, like I said, when we go back to Carla is somebody who, when you're in her presence, when you're on the phone with her, when you are meeting, talking to her, she makes you feel like you're the most important person alive. And
she
I
does.
Think that that is
she actually
success.
Does.
And so as much as, yes, she's only been with us for a short time in the picture of a lifetime of work, because of how she controls her environment and how she is with people, it's just propelled her success faster and further. And I think something for listeners to really pay attention to.
I agree, because it's one thing to go to somebody for help, but unless you have a very clear idea that you can share with the expert who is going to be helping you, I think if you don't have that in your head and you aren't controlling who you are and what you do and how you respond to people and largely how they respond to you, you're kind of starting from behind the gate, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it's also, I mean, when you put that into the media level, you know, is before taking an interview, is preparing for that interview as to what do you want to be heard? Because when most people are in an interview, you know, situation with a TV crew, and you know, you're sitting there and you've got lights and cameras on you and makeup people, you know, popping in every now and then, brushing up your face or smoothing your hair. In that moment, you have to be very focused as to if out of, you know, you could be there for 3 hours, but they only take 2 minutes of the filming. And so out of this time, what are the 5 most important points you want to make? And just because you said them once might not be enough. You might need to say them 3, 4, 5 times during the course of that interview, because it might be at an hour and 0.31 seconds in that you said it the way that the crew like it, the producer likes it. You know, and it's even in, again, you know, back to Carla with his Kelly Osbourne thing, this snap out of it, you know, which kind of has been picked up, and it's just one of Carla's many things that she does with her clients when they get on kind of a vicious cycle of, you know, self-doubting, binge eating, or, you know, taking, you know, losing track of really what their purpose is with their weight loss program. Is she has her little rubber band around the wrist, and you snap it, and it's snap out of it. Well, it was so, you know, the way that she did it, the way that she said it, that one moment, the producers loved it. That was what they used. And then it's something that is easily transferable to television because you can see it. And then Australian TV like that, you know. And so it's, again, it is working with your agency that can help you come up with what are those important sound bites in what you have to present to the media that help get across your message and spread your message.
That is absolutely brilliant. And here's my thinking, because, you know, I work a lot in social media marketing in particular. If you don't have a marketing message, you don't have anything, really. You just don't.
No.
I mean, just as a for instance, I was talking with somebody just recently who wants to start a food truck business. And he said, look, I've got access to a couple of food trucks, and I don't know why they went out of business. You know, these trucks are great. They're stainless steel. They've got everything. And my first question was, well, what was their marketing plan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was none. And that's why those trucks are parked.
Yeah.
You can have the best fish taco in the world, but if nobody knows you've got it,
exactly,
what's the point?
Exactly.
So it's a very simple analogy, but you've got to have a marketing plan.
Yeah.
And if you can't come up with a marketing plan on your own, you need to go to experts. I really firmly believe that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's like even to the food truck, it's like, you know, there's that niche too, because, I mean, food
mm-hmm.
trucks are big out here. We're in California, you know, and food trucks are big
right.
out here. And I don't know what the situation was with the person you're talking to or what the company is, but, again, for me, kind of as a marketing person, you know, I watch the trends, you know, and I see the trends of the food truck, especially here, the gourmet food trucks,
right.
you know, the different types of foods. And I've seen, you know, where the food trucks in the Long Beach, California area, for instance, all have a certain time. It's almost like they've become like a little community.
Mm-hmm.
Where
here too.
They,
right, same thing here. I'm watching
yeah,
the same thing. We had one, and then all of a sudden there's six or seven of them.
Exactly.
And now they're having a food truck roundup, and they go, you know, to the, we have what they call Park Lafayette, and they go to the park, and
exactly,
you know, they're coordinating their movements.
Yeah, I
which
mean,
is
there's
smart.
One area here where we there's like a very kind of a trendy wine bar, and the wine
mm-hmm.
bar is they do wine and they do cheese, but they don't do food. And so on Tuesday and Thursday nights when they have their wine specials, all the food trucks have teamed up with them to be outside.
Nice.
So you're there drinking
mm-hmm.
wine, and there's these great food trucks outside, you know. And I think one of the things I have learned about business people and people in general is we're all afraid of somebody taking our idea, stealing our
yeah.
idea. You know, the competition is killing me. You know, but if you stay true to your belief, your vision, your focus, and your understanding of what you are delivering to your niche market, there is no competition because nobody does what you do. And competition,
and nobody delivers it the way you do.
If I look at Coca-Cola and Pepsi,
right.
they compete with each other, but they live side by side in the market of soft drinks,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's like, well, you either like Pepsi or you like Coca-Cola. But both companies are extremely healthy.
right.
You know,
and I agree with you. You know, healthy competition is fine. And like I was telling, you know, this potential client, I said, look,
yeah.
you're going to have your market. There are going to be people who love your food. They love your personality. They love the way you deliver it, and they're going to become raving fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to walk over to the hot dog truck every once in a while.
Well,
because nobody wants
like,
to eat
you know,
the
if,
same
if,
stuff.
Like, if you don't eat Korean ribs, fish tacos might be the perfect alternative.
That's exactly
you,
right.
You know?
You know, my thing is to be the leader of the pack. You know, you
yeah.
gather up everybody else, and you, you know, say, look, I'm the best at what I do in my truck. Let's all get together and get a bigger audience.
Exactly, exactly. You know, and I think that is so, you know, is, you know, when somebody says, well, you know, what is one of the biggest mistakes made or one of the biggest things that I can learn is to overcome the fear. Overcome the fear of thinking that, A, you're in this alone, and, B, that you have to be afraid of everybody else who's out there because,
mm-hmm.
you know, you might think, well, I'm just a small fish in a big pond. Well, you know, you grow with time and you become a bigger fish and the pond gets smaller. You know, as you become
yeah.
a bigger fish, you know, you begin to take more of the business and more of the opportunity and more of the notoriety under your own umbrella of what you're developing.
And this is just me guessing. This is just a wild guess. But do you find, Angela, that when people are more comfortable with taking that business and being their own brand and saying, look, this is what I do. I love it. My customers are great. My clients are fabulous. I am not worried about competition because I have none. Do you find that they get successful much more quickly because
oh, yeah.
they're relaxed?
Again,
they're relaxed.
Kyle, it's like there's a lot of Beverly Hills celebrity therapists, but I don't know
yeah.
who they are.
No, I don't either.
And as a PR account, you know, representative, we don't really want to pay attention to who they are, because Carla's the only one as far as we're concerned, you know? And, and she's the only one as far as she's concerned. And so that is the attitude you have to have. It's like, even in my own industry, you know, there's various companies that claim, in my eyes, claim to do what we do, but nobody does what we do. Nobody works the way that we do.
And see, I feel the same way. I will partner with what I guess other people would consider competitors. None of us do everything the same way. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm the best at what I do.
Exactly.
And I'm very confident in saying that. So when I partner with other people, I'm happy to do so because they have strengths that I don't or interests that I don't. I don't view anybody in the VA OBM industry as a competitor.
Yes.
And I never have. And I guess that's why I'm comfortable doing what I'm doing, because I don't go look at what they're doing. I just don't. I don't want to be swayed.
Well, I think another thing that comes into it, too, is ego. And when you have ego involved, it gets in the way of a lot of things. And
true.
So, you know, when you have the ego of, you know, well, I want the biggest, best tackle stand in the world. It's like, well, why do you want that? Do you want that because it makes you feel good? Or do you want that because you really believe that your tackles are the healthiest, most nutritious, most beneficial, best foods, and that everyone in the world should be eating your tacos, you know? Or do you want it just because it makes you feel good? And if it's just because it makes you feel good, then it's probably not going to be successful.
No, at that point, you just need to run for office.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you even put kind of like, you know, Bill Gates and Steve Jobs on the line here with, you know, their goal was not to become the most famous men in the world for developing technology that has changed everyone's lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bill Gates said, I want to see a computer in everybody's home. And, you know, Steve Jobs wants to have the most advanced technology that's user-friendly, that works worldwide. And those two men have changed the world of how we all communicate.
Yes.
And again, sure, they've got big egos against each other, but they're like the Pepsi and the Coca-Cola, you know. We need them. Well, we don't need Pepsi and Coca-Cola. but you know what I mean? People, it's in our lives. We can choose which one we want. There are people who probably still don't have a computer, which I, you know, in this day and age, but I'm, you know, I know they don't. But for those of us that do, we have choices out there. Those choices are great. And those two men single-handedly have changed the world of communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now did they go out on their own and do that? No, they hired teams of experts to help develop the ideas they have in their minds. And those experts are everything from programming to PR and marketing and everything in between.
And that brings me to another question, because I can hear people in the audience going, yes, but. There's always that yes, but. And that biggest first question is, oh, my God, how do I afford this? I'm barely breaking even. Or better yet, I don't have any extra money at all. So how does somebody who desperately needs PR and, you know, to get out there in a big way, make the decision to just find that money and make that commitment, I guess? Because I know it's not inexpensive. How do you work around that, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, and I think it really begins with a mindset. And it begins with the mindset of the person. So, you know, if a customer comes to me or a client comes to me and says, my business is going down the toilet, it's going down the tubes, and if I don't get on TV in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to lose my business.
Oh, ow.
Well, and I've had that happen. And I honestly say, well, I'm the last person that you should be talking to, because one appearance on TV is not going to change your business. You know,
I wouldn't
you
think
obviously
so.
Have a lot of other issues you need to attend to first.
So what happens, though? I mean, when somebody comes to you and says, okay, I'm in pretty good shape, but, man, I don't know that I can afford this.
Yeah, well, then you have to then say, okay, well, let's sit back and, you know, if you have a budget and you know what your budget is, then what is it? So we can determine from there, okay, well, you know, maybe going on, getting you on a national television show is high priority, or maybe it's not, you know. Maybe making sure your website is, you know, because to me that is one of the biggest things right there, is just having a great website, is
right.
Making sure that your website is displaying the message that you want, because if we do get you on a national show, the first thing people will do now is go online and check you out.
Mm-hmm.
So if your website doesn't portray what your media campaign is saying, then it's not going to help you. You know, and so we kind of, you know, let's start with the basics. And that's kind of what we do. And then, you know, I would say if you don't have a budget, you know, you at least have, you know, try and meet with an expert for a consultation that costs a couple of $100 to help, for them to help you at least set the stage, if you will. Meaning,
they'll give
you
the idea.
It's like, okay, this is who I am, this is where I'm at, this is what
right.
I want to develop. But, you know, I don't have a budget, so where can I start? And if you meet with an expert, at least they can say, okay, well, you know, why don't you at least write your first press release? And there are many sources. I mean, you can even go to just like the PRSA, the Public Relations Society of America, which is a national organization, and they'll have templates and tips for press release writing. You know,
mm-hmm.
I actually have a book, Lights, Camera, Action, The Power of PR, which is a walk-through guide to how you can obtain press.
I know, I have it.
Looking as to what are resources that are either free or don't cost me a lot of money, so I can do some self-education.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do have a business coach who I've known for many years, and one of his things that he says all the time is, out of your week, you have to set time aside to work on the business. Because
not
most
in
of
the
us
business.
Find that we're working in the business. We're
right,
making
right.
calls from clients. We're paying bills. We're, you know, doing whatever it is we do to service our customers. Few of us actually carve out time every week where you say, for the next 4 hours, I am going to work on PR and marketing. I'm going to look at company strategy. I'm going to look at the goals I've set and see how close I am to reaching them. I'm going to work on new marketing materials. I'm going to work on my sound bites. I'm going to work on my vision, my plan, you know. And that is something that I think is number one, is you need to start there. And that takes nothing but your time and attention.
Mm-hmm. And you need to be consistent with it. It's
mm-hmm.
You're right, Angela. It's very easy to just, you know, the day gets away and you've taken care of your clients, your customers, you've paid your bills, you know, you've wallpapered the wall, whatever you had to do. And then you get in bed and go, oh, geez, what did I do for myself?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I have been doing for the last 6 months, I didn't wait for the new year because I caught myself getting off course. And my business model actually flipped a little bit because of that. I found that I was doing more web development, which is actually my gravy money, rather than the VA clients, which mm-hmm. is my bread and butter money. Money was still coming in, but it wasn't retainer money to some degree that I could budget. And, you know, I wasn't paying attention. You know, money was coming in. I was fine. But when I sat down and looked at my money, I realized that somewhere I had inadvertently flipped my business model, and I did not like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the commitment to myself to 3 hours a day, no less, and I prefer more, but 3 hours minimum, which means that I may be up at 5 o'clock in the morning, or I may be doing this at midnight, but 3 hours a day I am working on my own stuff,
mm-hmm.
period. And I'll tell you what, there's something very soothing about that.
Well, there is, because, you know, you're conscious of your own
right.
situation.
Right.
You're living
it's
in the moment.
It's easy to not be conscious
well.
Of it. You know, I mean, I know you see this all the time. It's easy to get flipped around a little bit and go, what the heck happened?
Yes.
So you have to self-monitor, don't you?
Yes. Yes. I just saw this quote recently, and I don't know who said it or who put it up on Facebook, but I'm pretty certain that's where I saw it. And it was, if you're feeling anxious, you're living in the past.
Mm.
If you're worrying, you're living in the future. If you're at peace, you're living in the present.
Oh.
And I think when you are working consciously in the moment, in the present, in what you can do right now, there's not really any room in your brain for the past or the future. Now,
right.
Of course, that moment that you can't decide, you're going to be looking to, what do I want to achieve in the future? But you're working in the present with your goals and ideas and checking off, did I do what I said I was going to do? And
mm-hmm.
And like you said, there's something very satisfying about that. And I think
there
you're
is.
At peace with it because you feel in control.
Well, and with that, Angela, comes opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you kind of achieve that Zen state, which is a silly way of putting it, but it kind of is appropriate.
Yes.
All of a sudden, other people are going, hey, I love what you do. Can I work with you? It just opens up this whole new arena.
Well, you know, it does because it's, you know, and there's been so much, you know, in the past few years from self-help books on, you know, the law of attraction and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do feel that thoughts make actions. You know,
yeah.
And the more you think about what are the right things for you to be doing and what you should be doing, again, whether it's servicing a customer or whether it's working on your business, those thoughts turn into positive actions. And therefore, you get what you want faster than
mm-hmm.
if you're self-doubting or not making the time or making excuses or you're allowing the business to run you.
Which
and that is
and
the thing,
crazy.
Is we go into business to create an exciting, interesting, better life for ourselves. But if the business is running you and you're not running it, then it takes over and it doesn't necessarily lead you where you truly want to go.
It really doesn't. And, you know, we're talking about the rubber band thing. I've done that on occasion because somebody else told me, one of my clients is a sports psychologist, and he showed me that trick years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't use it anymore. I don't need to because you very quickly realize it. Ouch, that
it
hurts.
<is.
laughs> In fact, you learn to curse in two languages, like son of a gun.
Exactly.
But what I use it for is not anything physical. I would get trapped in this cycle of negative thinking. It's like, and it would just go round and round like a bad tape in my head. And I realized that I was wasting a lot of time on the same crummy loop in my head. So I, you know, got the little rubber band and snapped it a few times and went, okay, I don't like that.
Yes.
That hurt.
Yes.
So I replaced that. Anytime I catch myself starting a loop in my head, you know, kind of like a fragment of a song that you can't get out of your head, but this one is not a good song, all I do now, I trained myself to sit, to identify the thought, recognize that I'm doing it, and instantly say out loud, I don't know why, but I have to say it out loud, cancel, cancel.
Mm.
And that's it. It stops it. I've trained my brain to, when I say cancel, cancel, it's done.
Yeah.
I've just shut off that radio. I'm moving on to something else.
Yeah, and that's all that's, you know, because you are unique, because you're in a niche, you have to find what works for you.
Right.
You know, and so if cancel, cancel is what works for you,
mm-hmm.
then that's fantastic, you know. And so that is, you know, for other people listening in is, you know, what are words that trigger, you know, or what are words that stop the trigger? Because, you know, we all have things that trigger us into negative thinking and self-doubt.
Right.
And what are those triggers? And then when you see that trigger coming down the path, cancel, cancel, or
mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking that way, or I'm going to snap a rubber band against my wrist.
Right.
You know,
whatever works.
Oh, whatever
yeah, but
it is
does.
That works for you.
Right, right. The rubber band hurt. I don't like pain, so I just don't
yeah.
I'll find another way to do this, but doing the rubber band thing is very effective. Yeah, it really is. So, okay, I wanted to, we've got a few things that I really, really wanted to chat with you about.
Okay.
Business 101, because what to you is Business 101?
Well, to me, like I said, Business 101 is truly, you know, the first thing. A lot of people think, you know, well, buying a business. I'm going to buy a business. Okay, well, when you buy a business, then what are you going to do with it? Or I'm going to start a business. You know,
mm-hmm.
or I've had people over the years who say, you know, you're so lucky to own your own business. And it's like, really? Why am I so lucky? Tell me. Because there are days when I just wish I had a job and got a paycheck and didn't have to think about it. You know, so...
Right.
You know, and so I think it's this whole perception of what a business is and owning a business and what it means, and it's not real. And so I think business 101 is to get real about what you're doing and why you're doing it. And then as you get real, you know, it's like, okay, well, what is your vision of your business, of your future? And again, we're right here the first week of the year. So, you know, if I would say, you know, business 101 is to think about, if I was saying to you this time next year, did you achieve your vision? Did you achieve your goal? Yes, I did. And what was it? Mm-hmm. It might be, you know, to make more money. It might be to improve the staffing at the office. You might need a computer upgrade. You know, it could be anything you want it to be, but what is that vision? And write that vision out. And then after you've written it, set it aside for 24 hours, sleep on it, think about it, pick it up again, and rewrite it. You know, it's you write off the top of your head, and then you begin to apply and break it down as to, well, in that vision, you know, it might be, well, I need to improve sales. Okay, so how are you going to do that? What are three things you can do now to improve sales? I need to, you know, it could be, well, I actually need to improve my personal image because I've gained weight, I'm not feeling good about myself, I'm not, you know, I'm not presenting the business image I want to present. Okay, well, let's work on that. And what are the three things you can do now to improve your future image of yourself? You know, it's, you know, it could be part of that vision is, well, I'm working so hard on trying to build this business that I don't have time for my family. Okay, well, then that's important because you're not going to be happy and run a successful business until you get the family element sorted out. So, again, what are three things you can do now to include that family into your business life? Because, again, as entrepreneurs, we find it's not, we don't just have a job where we clock in at 9 and we clock out at 5 and then miraculously a paycheck is in our checking account the next week. You know, is we're doing so many other things to get that paycheck that things suffer, but it's important things that suffer. And to me, one of the last things I ever want out of life is regret. I don't want to regret that I missed a kid's soccer game. I don't want to regret that I wasn't there for my daughter's graduation. You know, I don't want to regret the important things in life. And so, you know, again, and these sound like, well, that doesn't really have anything to do with business. It's like, well, as an entrepreneur, it has everything to do with business. You know, then your goals, it might be, well, you know, I'd like to increase my staff. Well, why do you want to increase your staff? Do you need to increase your staff? And if you do, then what financial, you know, changes do you need to make to account and be and allow you? You know, so it could be, well, you know, you obviously you need sales in order to increase staff because you need to pay them. What are you going to do? So that, to me, is all the business 101.
Mm-hmm. So basically thinking it out and coming up with a realistic plan.
Yeah.
And not
yeah.
just doing knee-jerk things that make you go, what the heck was I thinking?
Exactly. And an easy way to kind of vision this, because, you know, we are talking on the phone, and so listeners might be thinking, well, how do I do that? And so I would say, you know, you take out a blank piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, whatever you like to write with, and in the middle of that piece of paper, draw a circle. So you draw a circle and you write me or your name or a little stick man picture of yourself, but something that you know in the middle of that circle, in the middle of that paper, is you. And then, you know, starting from the top of your head at the top of the circle, draw a line and draw another circle and write vision. Then, you know, you move to the right of the left of the circle and you draw another line with a circle that will say business plan. Then you draw another line with another circle that says personal health and fitness. You draw another line with another circle and you put in family. You know, and you continue to draw these circles with all of the elements that are important to your business. It could be sales increase, staff, new equipment, you know, what, and then that way you kind of have visually in front of you, okay, well, I'm here. These are all the areas I need to touch on every week. So then from, you know, circle number one, you know, which is vision, is what are three things, again, you can do now to initiate that vision? You move to the next circle, personal health. What are three things you can do now to begin to activate your steps towards a personal health regime? Staffing, what are three steps you can do? And it could be, you know, maybe you just need to remind your team what the goals of the company are. But if you don't have your vision clear, then you don't know what the goals are, so then neither does your team. And many of us get frustrated with, God, you know, that employee just this and that and the other, and they're not doing their job right. It's like, well, are they clear about what you want from them? And maybe they're not.
That is so true. I know one of the biggest things, especially with me, is everything I do is virtual. And everybody I work with lives scattered all over the country. I mean, they're just, I've never actually met any of my team, but I know them very well. I work with them daily. But here's the thing, and this is what I found out kind of the hard way and in a way kind of by accident. If they don't know what my vision is, they can't work to achieve it. So I'm very careful about giving them the bigger picture. I don't hug everything to my chest. They may be getting only a piece of a project that I'm working on, but they have a very clear idea of what the project is going to look like when it's complete. So they can take a lot of pride and a lot of thought in their piece of that project.
It's important to do. You know, when it comes to kind of the work that you do with being a virtual assistant, your client needs to know all of the areas where you can help them.
Right.
Meaning all the services that you offer. And again, I find in a lot of offices that people hire somebody or they buy something that they like, that they want or they need, without ever realizing that there's a whole host of other things that that company can provide them with. And unless you are clear with your vision and with your staff, because your staff, if they're on the line talking to potential customers or doing customer service, they need to know everything about the vision and the company and the offerings and the services so they can help you grow.
Right, right.
And again, I put this into kind of the plastic surgery arena. We work with a lot of plastic surgeons, and I'll hear a doctor say, well, you know, that patient who came in to me, you know, for liposuction is going to the doctor across the street for Botox. Why do you think they're doing that? And it's like, well, what do you tell them about your Botox services? Well, nothing. But I'm a plastic surgeon, and all plastic surgeons do Botox. It's like, well, we know that, but the general public doesn't necessarily know that. And not everybody in the general public knows that. You need to have within your practice, within your reach, information available so that that patient who comes for one service knows about all the other treatments that you offer. And then they'll say, well, but they're not asking about that. It's like, well, no, but their mom might be, or their sister might be, or their friend might be, you know.
Exactly.
And that's really what it is. And so the more you can tell your customer about what you do, then there's other people that will benefit from your services.
And that's such a simple thing, but it is overlooked all the time. And I'm not quite sure if it's a logic problem or a communication problem.
Yeah, I think really what it is time. It's really all about time management, because time passes so quickly. And I think unless you are every day conscious, aware, and present to what's taking place in your day, you let time slip away. And then we get to like, oh my God, it's 2 o'clock. I need to go to an appointment now. And then it's just like, well, where did the time go? I had every good intention of doing this, this, and this today, but now it's 2 o'clock and I don't have time for it because I have to go to an appointment. And so I really
think time management is an issue as well.
Again, in business 101, is what are you doing to manage your time?
Well, that makes sense. I mean, that does, because many, many times I've gotten to bed late and gone, what the heck did I get done today? And then I lay in bed, and my brain is racing, and I'm going over everything I got done, and in the aggregate, it was a ton of stuff.
Yes.
But I'm still not satisfied because I didn't get to the really important things
yes.
that I needed to do. That was when I was working on, you know, in my business, not on my business.
Exactly.
But I'm better about that now, but man, I mean, I get into bed and my brain would be tired just from beating myself up.
Yeah. And again, I work with this business coach who is just fantastic, and one of the things he talks about is where you spend your time. And so, you know, if you look at your week, and if 40% of the time is spent on what he calls your unique ability, is the thing that is the thing that gives you energy. You know, it's the thing that excites you. It's the passion that we all went into owning our own business about, whether it's helping people, you know, with service, whether it's helping them emotionally, whether it's helping them with image, whether it's helping them build their brand, you know, whatever it is that is your unique ability that is where you are the happiest, that's where the money is. So if you look at your week, it's like, you know, you need to break it up that 40% of your time is in that. And then the other 40% of your time will be in the things that support you doing that, which is really business and sales, you know. And then the remaining, you know, 20% of your time is in knowingly dealing with the minutia that comes with being a business person.
Right.
That none of us, I mean, I actually like paying bills, because when I'm paying bills, it means I'm making money. So that makes me happy, you know, and it's like, okay, well, if I'm paying you, it's because I have money to pay you, because business is okay, you know. It's the time when the bills are, piling up because, you know, money didn't come in because maybe somebody
right.
else's business is suffering, you know. And it's like,
right.
oh, you know, we need that circle of life to keep going so we can all be happy. So paying bills makes me happy. But to some people, they dread doing it, you know, or they pass it on to another person to do. But, you know, that you always allow, you know, 10, 15, 20% of your time to dealing with the management side of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that 20% is working on the business, you know. That you carve out time every week for future business planning.
That is great advice. Okay, so let's move on to my second one. I have a whole list of questions for you.
Okay.
I always do. It's like we get to the end of the show and say, oh, geez, what happened? Anyway, PR 101, because, you know, we have your business, you know, your vision and your strategy lined up. You know that you have to work, you know, on the business and not necessarily in the business all the time. Now, how do you market your business? You know, PR, do you go with marketing first or PR first?
Well, you know, it's like we're going to talk about,
or both.
You know, first is, you know, do you have a budget?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have some kind of a budget. You really do. And the budget includes your personal time to apply to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of people, you know, they go in, to, you know, when they have decided they're going to open this business, they're going to go to the bank and take out a small business loan. And they've got that loan, and they've done that application, and they know how much their computers are going to cost, and, you know, they know what the lease on the business, whether it's a retail space, an office space, or whether they're going to work from home, you know, they know all of those things, but then they don't ask for any money to help them market.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, in that right there is where if you're, you whatever funds you were using as a startup, a percentage of that fund has to be set aside for PR and marketing. And I am a believer that, you know, you begin with the very, very basics of a business card. And even in this day and age, it's like, oh, well, you know, nobody prints, nobody reads. It's like, you know, well, people are actually more old-fashioned than we are led to believe they are. when it comes to communications. And as much as, you know, it's all fine and dandy that there's internet things, at the end of the day, people still want to hold a piece of paper. They still want to communicate verbally, face-to-face, you know, and they still want to have human contact. Mm-hmm. And so I say, you know, you start with your business card, you start with your stationery. You may not, you know, order mass quantities of paper, because now, thanks to, you know, many of the internet companies that are available, where you can kind of design your own logo, you can design your own stationery, and you can
print
it as you need it, you know. So, but I think those are the basics. You begin with your website, which is, you know, back 5 years ago, the website was not as important as it is today.
Oh, it's critical.
I mean, it's critical today.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Because everybody who is you're trying to market to is going online. And then even elements, you know, and again, it's like if you don't have a budget, you need to educate yourself on, well, what are the important elements of building a website?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I've had people like, well, you know, I can just through my, you know, the domain name registration company, they have website templates that I can just plug.
I'm shuddering. As a web developer, that just makes me shudder.
Well,
and
it makes
something
me shudder,
we need
too,
to...
because it's like, yeah,
oh.
It's just like sitting there in the dark.
I know.
Because there's no, you know, there's no SEO attached to it. There's none of the back work that you do to make it viral for when you do a Google search, they can find it.
Exactly.
You know, and so it really is, you know, you've got to understand what a website means and what is the value and the importance and how will it work for your company.
Right.
And how, you know, again, it's like, because if you put an ad in a newspaper and people go, they're going to go to your website, well, A, if you're not coming up on Google searches, they can't find you, or B, they get to your website and it's just a blank page that says, call us at this number. Well, no, they want to learn more about you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is your golden opportunity to educate them.
Well, and it's your real estate on the Internet. It is very, very important.
Yes.
And let's not, you know, now, these days, you must have a mobile version of your site.
Yes.
It's imperative. I mean, you need to be able to have that mobile version that people can see on their iPhone or their Android. And when they want to call you, if they're driving down the road, which too many people do,
mm-hmm.
They want to be able to push that click-to-call button right there. So, I mean, that's not something you can overlook. And if you're using one of these...
Like, I was at the hairdresser's this week, and my hairdresser, we got talking about, you know, New Year's resolutions and
mm-hmm.
health and fitness, and I had been to Zumba, and she was asking what Zumba like and how do you like it, and then she told me that she had joined a yoga class. And I said, you know, I actually really, you know, I keep talking about doing yoga. Maybe it's something I, you know, it is something I'd like to incorporate into my health and well-being. So then she goes on to tell me how she's found this new yoga place near where we live, and they've got this deal running, you know, on Groupon or one of those places right now. And then, you know, she pulls out her tablet, and I'm sitting there getting my hair done, and she pulls out her tablet and she pulls up the website for the yoga studios. And, you know, when we look through, and it's like, that's what people are doing now. So then she's like, let's see if they still have the special that they were running 3 weeks ago, you know, and they do, you know. And that's, again, it's like, that's why it's so important that you work with the kind of experts and people who can guide you to put in your best, because you only have one chance to make a first impression. You know, you don't have a second chance to make a first impression.
No. And if somebody goes to your website and they see that it's one of those box websites, that's the only way I can term them. You know, they're in a box. They're very limited. You have to use their modules. If everything is left-centered, if it's an ugly mustard yellow, they're leaving and they're not coming back.
No, no.
It's just, that's just all there is to it.
Or even
they have instantly decided.
Static, you know,
right.
A lot of them are so kind of, the templates are so flat and static.
Oh,
and
they're horrible.
Yeah.
But the thing is that people instantly do not identify you as an expert.
Yeah.
You know, wrong or right, they're going to look at that and say, they don't know what the heck they're doing. You may be the best at what you do, but if you can't present that right away, You're a goner.
You know, and there's even now, you know, I mean, with we are a world. I mean, I used to say we are a nation, but we have become a world.
World, yeah.
Where video and television and imagery far surpasses reading. It's very
important
to me, I'm a reader, but it truly is. And so even going to a website where there's no video, but there's loads of text, is not going to work. And I do find that, especially with a kind of a more educated client that we have, that they really want to say everything and really feel that they need to talk to their patients and customers how clinically or academically they like to be taught. But it's to understand that in the world of internet and media, it's you have 3 seconds to capture somebody's attention.
Right.
So again, it's like, well, you caught their attention because you were on TV, or you caught their attention because you were in a magazine, or they found a flyer about you, or a friend talked to you about them. But then you get to the website, and you lose their attention in that 3 seconds because either it's boring, they can't navigate the site, there's no movement because it's so static, you know, or they've had a hard time finding you.
Right, right.
You know,
and you lose all
like,
credibility.
Yeah.
You just do. I mean, we are
that,
society.
It's like all of this really does come before PR. You
right.
Know, even,
gotcha.
Collateral materials, which again, you know, we've moved to such a digital age, and I've had so many people say, "Well, I don't do collateral materials anymore. I don't have a brochure. It's all my website." It's like, well, I don't want to go to your website. I want something to read at lunch right now. You know. I want something to take with me so when I get home tonight, I'll remember who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to walk around all day thinking, oh, well, I hope I remember when I get home to go to that guy's website. You know,
right.
And so
it's a visual cue.
You
right.
know, and again, it doesn't have to be, you know, a super duper expensive piece, but some kind of leave behind that you can carry with you. So wherever you go, you've got your business card. And you leave behind brochure, flyer, you know, media kit, whatever that is not digital, is still very important.
I agree. I mean, I have business cards that anytime I send out a thank you card or I send out, you know, welcome packet, my business card goes right in there.
Yes.
I mean, it just makes sense. And
yeah,
it's an expense, and I, you know, never meet any of the people that are getting my business card, but it's still important that they have it.
Well, it made me laugh last week because I was with my eldest son. He lives up in L.A., and he was kind of going through his wallet and emptying things out, and I could see he has my business card in his wallet. So, I mean, and that's what you want.
Aww.
You want people who are carrying your business cards, too, so that should they
right.
ever run across somebody who needs your services. You know, or
well,
even like
just,
my hairdresser that I just was at the other day came
right.
from one of the girls in my Zumba class, and I said, you know, I really need to find a new hairdresser. And she's like, oh, well, you know, when we leave, I have the girl I go to, you know, she's right down the street, and she opens her gym bag, and she's got 3 or 4 of her friend's business cards. And so her friend just got 2 new clients because of that.
Right, right.
You know, and so again, when it comes to PR
and
marketing, it's just really it's who you touch and how you touch them. And especially if you don't have money like Coca-Cola does, you know, that it's like you've got to really think of how can I spend the money that I have wisely to get the best effect.
Angela, we have 90 seconds left. Again, this hour has just flown. I'm in shock. Can you tell people where to... Well, I want you to come back. You're one of my absolute favorite guests. I mean, I still have so many questions for you. But before we get cut off, tell people where they can find you on the Internet.
Okay, www.theprofessionalimage.com. That was www.theprofessionalimage.com. Or if you Google Angela O'Mara, O'Mara, the professional image comes up. Today it came up at the top of Google, so hopefully it will continue to.
Hey. Excellent. And they can find you on Facebook as well. I know you've got a great business page over there.
Absolutely, and that is under the professional image, or you can also find me. I have Angela O'Mara is my Facebook name.
Nice. Well, listen, Angela, thank you so much for being with me here today. I always love chatting with you, and I invariably come away from our time together with my brain on fire. Today is no exception.
Well, I would love to be back. I just love being on your show. You're such a great host, and like I said to begin with, I feel really honored to be here, so thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's my honor and my pleasure to have you here. Well, thank you, everybody, for being with us here today. The show will be available for download probably in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Angela O'Mara wishing you a wonderful weekend, a healthy, happy, and very prosperous new year. And I will see you next week. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.